Commission of the Port Authority of the Port of Houston. This is a special meeting. The time is 10:15, and it's November the 13th. I don't have any opening remarks to make. Under general, we have agenda item C1, update, discussion, and possible action regarding state and federal legislative matters. So Roger, I'm not sure who's got the action on this one.
Spencer does. He's going to lead the discussion.
Okay, Spencer, lead us.
Will do it. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, good morning, commissioners. For any of the guests that might be here, I know that the crowd kind of thinned out for my presentation. That's okay. My name is Spencer Chambers. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Port Authority. And we're going to go through and talk about what the staff is recommending in terms of state and federal policy matters. As I was getting ready to give the presentation this morning, I was thinking about the contrast of following the budget presentation and some of the challenges therein. One of them, of course, being Tim and his team do a great job with that presentation. But we know that in financial planning, it's all about precision and accuracy and certainty. And now I'm going to talk about politics. There's a lot less of that in this conversation, but that's why we're going to talk about it, is to look at what those dynamics are and plot our course through those things, both in Washington and in Austin. Let me start off by, of course, all of you know Monica Glover, who's part of our department. We're part of the legal department. We report to Eric Erickson. Eric and I will tag team on some of these pieces. We'll go through this efficiently. Just to start off with, I am going to talk about some of the political dynamics, the midterm elections.
Okay, before you get started, I just want to make one comment. At this time, we have a quorum of four members of the commission here. One of our commissioners has to depart in 14 minutes, but we will continue the meeting without a quorum. So no action will be possible after that time.
Is there anything we need to vote on?
No.
No.
Okay.
It's a discussion.
Okay, so if you would, Spencer, continue. I just wanted to make that remark so that everybody knew.
And I just may add that the meeting will officially end at that point, and there'll just be an informal briefing after.
Correct.
Very good. So to start off the conversation, it is important to talk about some of the political dynamics that's facing us both in Washington and in Austin. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The midterm elections have produced some results that provide some interesting dynamics, as well as certainly some challenges, but also some opportunities. And we'll talk about those in particular as we go along. With the state, there certainly are some changes and things happening there as well, but maybe less significant as what's going on in Washington. Talking about Washington very quickly, as we lead into our staff recommendations of the priorities, one of the things that you have heard perhaps along with all of us in recent days since the election is the White House, as you know, has always had infrastructure as a priority. Representative Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, who's could be the next speaker there, but she has said in recent days that infrastructure is one of the Democrats' priorities. One of the ways that they would say that they had won so many elections was talking about the need for infrastructure. So it's certainly a priority for them as well. And you even hear the Republican leadership in the Senate talk about infrastructure. And so going into the Congress, infrastructure will be a big conversation. And certainly that's a big part of who we are and what we are doing in Washington. Of course, the devils are in the details. We'll see. There seems to be some interest in working together across the aisle in a bipartisan way, House and Senate and the White House together. We'll certainly work to take advantage of whatever opportunities those provide. We don't know what those will be yet, but we certainly will be engaged in those discussions. In Austin, just very quickly, in terms of the elections and the impact, the Republicans still retain control of the legislature, all the statewide offices. One of the big changes, now 24 hours ago, this was less certain. Today is more certain. The dynamics in the House of Representatives in terms of who is going to be the next speaker. The current speaker is retiring. There has been a lot of discussion, or a lot of people have been running for that seat. It takes both Republicans and Democrats to get elected as Speaker. And in the last couple of days, it has all culminated behind support for Representative Dennis Bonnet. He was the Speaker pro tem last session and is a longtime member of the legislature. He represents Angleton. He's got the Port of Freeport in his district. So he's familiar with ports. He's familiar with the Port of Houston. You may recall he was the chairman of the Sunset Commission when we were going through our Sunset review. So he knows us. He knows us well as well.
Are we comfortable that he is not going to be pro Freeport to the detriment of the Port of Houston?
Well, the he's certainly a very big supporter of the Port of Freeport, no question. And I think where we have an advantage or a way to push back on those sorts of things would be we have a big legislative delegation. And so if you recall from the Sunset, some of the Sunset debates as they were going through the legislature, the Houston delegation, and we would certainly work and hope that that would be the case moving forward, that they would rally behind their port too. And so that's what helps maintain the balance. But even then, you know, the state only, and we'll talk about some of the ways that the state supports ports. I don't know how much. I don't know how much they could do in Texas to advantage one over the other.
Let me add one thing though. We're, you know, and Spencer will talk more about Texas Ports Association, and I think we have been very close in most respects on Port Authority initiatives with the Port of Freeport, and you know, we, you know, mutual support. And so to the extent we have TPA initiatives in the legislature, I actually think that will be helpful to us, because we really are pretty much aligned with Freeport on those. I mean, there's an important issue where we're less aligned, but in many of the other ones we're aligned. So I think there's also an opportunity there.
I think the other side.
Okay.
I think the other side of it too is that the petrochem community is, you know,
Much more concentrated here.
Yeah, it's more concentrated.
It's going to be really important for us to have a pretty strong idea with our industry partners.
Yeah.
Going forward.
Absolutely right.
Agreed. So moving ahead, just a brief word before I get into the specific recommendations, just a brief word to say that, you know, all of the things that we're engaged in can be tied to a lot of to some specific strategic objectives within the Port Authority. So that's an important thing to point out. A lot of it, as you can imagine, is tied to infrastructure largely, but also relationships in terms of stakeholders, both largely elected officials, but we also get engaged a lot with our industry partners as well, as you were mentioning. So getting right to the recommendations, we'll talk about both Washington and Austin. There are certainly some things that we could do in Austin, some initiatives that we've been working on over multiple sessions, but looking ahead at this coming year, and Commissioner Don Carlos's comments in the earlier presentation are a good segue into this. We have a lot of things that we need to be doing in Washington related to the ship channel, preparing for the authorization of the mega study, and all of the things that are leading up to that. It's a big project. There's a lot of moving pieces. It requires not only working with members of Congress, House and Senate, the White House is a big part of that discussion too, particularly in this era of no earmarks. That just means that there's a lot more that we have to do to convince agencies in the Corps or in the White House, as well as members from across the country on the importance of the Houston Ship Channel. So there's a lot of pieces to that, as well as our ongoing annual need for dredging, the maintenance dredging. That's something that we have to continue to work at every year. We've also had some very good success working as a coalition with our sister ports across the country to come up with a permanent fix for the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund. I'll talk about that more specifically here in a few minutes. But with those big priorities on the horizon, we're recommending that a lot of our efforts be focused really in Washington moving forward, even with the state legislative session. And we'll talk about some of the things we could be doing in Austin as well, more specifically here in a minute.
And let me just jump in. I mean, I think one thing we've seen is, again, the Tech Support Association is much more active. And I think this year in particular, a lot of these initiatives have been driven by them. So even if we don't concentrate effort, perhaps some of the other ports will address some of the initiatives that we've identified.
In the state level.
At the state level. Yeah.
Right, at the state level. And then third, speaking of the Texas Ports Association, Roger is the president of the TPA right now. TPA has not really ever had staff, but under Roger's leadership, there has been a lot of a good coalition of ports moving forward. There's a real interest in making TPA a stronger tool for all of us, for our mutually beneficial efforts. That is largely communicating the importance of ports, communicating the importance of Texas ports. Many ports across the country have, particularly if you have a state with a state port authority or a state with only a few ports, they get the support of their entire state delegation. With Texas, we have a diverse group of ports. We have a large delegation, but that's an opportunity that if folks from Amarillo and El Paso and San Angelo and all those other far-flung places from the coast understand the importance of ports, and we're telling them together as the Port of Houston, Corpus Christi, Beaumont, or whomever, how we impact their well-being, their economy, the more support that we can get for those mutually beneficial efforts. And so we're doing a lot of things with TPA too that that merit a lot of our attention and effort, because again, they don't have staff. And so with Roger being the president, Port of Houston is able to put forward our own staff as in a lot of these efforts. So Eric, myself, and Mark and Rich and others have all kind of chipped in to help get TPA on a good footing moving forward.
Does this organization have any funding processes?
The Texas Port Association?
Yeah.
We collect dues, and we also have the opportunity from port members, about 17 ports, and then we have the opportunity for associate members for companies or other entities to join in.
Maybe Rogers should answer this question. Is it time for them to have a staff?
Well,
could they be more effective?
We're trying to spin this thing up. Ideally, that would be the case where there is a staff and a more permanent advocacy for Texas Port. One thing that I'll add is I think it's got a lot more clout when, not just because me and Spencer and Monica are doing a lot of work for that, the fact that Houston's leading this provides a lot of clout and other ports like that. Mm-hmm. We can't let it be to the detriment of our needs of the port.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course.
So we're very, every port's needs are first and foremost. We recognize that, but there's a lot of common needs. And I think there's a good opportunity, especially to get our Texas delegation together in D.C. to support efforts and at the state level. So to answer your question, yes, it was kind of like laying in the weeds, a little bit defunct. We've tried to spin it up. I think we've been successful, but it needs to move forward. We're going to have our first conference this year in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
In Austin during the session at the same time that we have an advocacy, a reception for the delegation and that type of thing. So, yes, I think it's important. But we can't lose sight of Port Houston.
Right.
Yeah. And I know you're about to go, Commissioner Don Carlos, but on the other hand, excuse me, the D.C. session, you mentioned something at a state level, but also at a federal level. We don't have authorization yet, but it's time to start waving the stick for the Houston Ship Channel in D.C. in advance of authorization and funding needs. And we have to have our stakeholders as a part of that. There's a lot of clout with the stakeholders on our, and we're going to do that. And I think starting early next year is going to be a very active year in D.C.
I think it's on the radar screen already of Senators Cruz and Cornyn. I had the chance to visit with them in last week of September in D.C. and talked with them about the at that point the two-way traffic and the need for the widening of the channel. And of course, both of them have somebody on their staff that are connected to the Corps of Engineers and handle those projects, so they had them in on those meetings. But yeah, it's something that's preliminarily teed up, but we really probably need to start making the full court press for that.
Okay. Absolutely.
And to that
full
end,
court press is the word.
Yeah, for sure. And we appreciate you talking to the senators about that issue too. I mean, they were engaged on that issue with this last WERDA bill. The dynamics weren't such for a lot of navigation pieces to that bill. It was a lot of flood control, as you can imagine. Right. But they've certainly been doing some work already, and with some engagement with some of our industry partners like LyondellBasell, Dow Chemical, both of them reached out to us proactively wanting to help engage on some of these issues.
I think Covestro is ready to get active too, because they need Cedar Bio dredged, and that's been approved but not funded on the federal level. So I think you've got some opportunities for engagement there.
And that's exactly why, even though it's a stated session coming up, nonetheless, we're going to be concentrating on the federal side.
And it's this issue with the channel widening from the petrochemical standpoint. Yeah. All the companies like Kinder Morgan and those companies are geared up to to work with us in D.C. to, probably more so than they have in a long time.
You seem to be motivated.
And just, and just anecdotally to that point, I mean, I've been working here for 10 years, and each of those years we work to engage the industry on our channel issues. And that's challenging because there's lots of different things on their plate, and the Port Authority has been largely successful in getting what the channel needs. But now with things coming up, companies are getting in touch with me proactively asking to help. How can we help with two-way traffic? So, the dynamics are
changing.
Sure.
Well, I would encourage you, and y'all know this too, but to get them all together and save everybody kind of going off with their own
different directions,
little slant, different directions.
Yep.
We need to get everybody on the same page and have the same voice, the same message.
Agree. And we have some venues for that. There's a group that Roger convenes on a quarterly basis called the Big Ten. And they're the companies that represent
the 10 largest users
of the vessel traffic. We talk to them regularly on advocacy policy issues for sure. And then, between relationships that we have on our own, agreed, we need to be consistent and be all on the same page. Yes, sir.
Guys, I've got to go. I'm sorry, I have a speaking engagement left.
Well, Mr. Kenny, you want to bring this meeting to a close from the official standpoint?
Okay.